We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
Baldy joins us every single Tuesday at 7:30 in the morning, right here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. And Baldy had a hell of a time in L.A. I followed you on IG, on Twitter. You're doing your thing for Sky Sports. You're at SoFi. You're shaking hands with Aaron Donald, who should have been the Super Bowl MVP. Baldy has been living that life. Baldy, good morning. And, you know, Super Bowl 56 is over.
Hello?
Yeah, you got us, Baldy? Uh-oh. I'm not sure Baldy has us. Let's fix his line for a second there. Baldy trying to get ready here as we get to Super Bowl 56 and break down what the biggest need for the Niners is in the offseason.
Well, the biggest need is secondary help to me. So, like, you have a playmaker on the front level in terms of D-line in Bosa. You have a playmaker in the middle level in terms of Fred Warner. I'd like a playmaker in the back end. What's wrong?
I'm starting to lose my mind a little bit. Comcast Business Text Line, 831. Go get the number 11th pick. Give up McGlinchey. Get Tyrod on the cheap. Or maybe Tyler Henneke from the 831. All right. It's the same thing where I'm seeing where, oh, man, if the Niners went to the Super Bowl, they would have mollywopped the Bengals. Yet, all season long, we talked about Jimmy Garoppolo not being good enough and the guy holding back the team. All right? Jimmy Garoppolo's still the quarterback. And Mike McGlinchey, we all bashed.
He's solid.
Bashed him.
He's a middle-of-the-pack starter.
We bashed him. And all of a sudden, you want to throw Mike McGlinchey in a deal for Jimmy Garoppolo and think you're going to get 11? Like, what planet are we living on?
Well, no. What you're saying is his offensive linemen are tough to come by, number one. And number two, he's coming off a very serious injury where you don't know what's going to happen to him. You're looking for a landing spot that has salary cap to absorb him, has the need of offensive tackle. And then secondarily, you're looking at somebody in Jimmy Garoppolo where people are so thirsty for a quarterback. We see every single year that they overtrade for it. I mean, just recently, a third and a first for Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz played at damn near MVP level.
I know, Bonte.
MVP level.
I'm just telling you what the market is out there.
Eagles get the number one seed. All right? No, all right, let's get back to Baldy here. Baldy doing his thing in L.A. Hey, Baldy, you still in La La Land?
Yes, I am.
Oh, man.
I'm sitting out here in downtown Los Angeles looking at some gray skies. All that beautiful weather we saw during the Super Bowl week is gone. But, yeah, we still got some post-game Super Bowl stuff to wrap up out here, so I'm right here.
Dude, we got to get you out of L.A., man. You've been having a time of your life. I'm afraid you haven't gotten any sleep.
This was a good time.
Yeah, I know. I saw you walk into the game. You had a lady from the Netherlands, a lady from somewhere else in Europe.
I was being escorted in, Bonte. Escorted in. It was awesome.
I mean, you're shaking hands with Aaron Donald, who should have been the Super Bowl MVP. So let's break down the game, because it's something that we've seen in the Super Bowl over and over and over. The trenches. They matter. And when the Rams said, you know what, let's make an adjustment. Let's line up Aaron Donald over the guard. We'll put somebody else over the center. We're going to isolate him and let him go one-on-one. The Bengals were cooked. Burrow, I'm surprised he got out of the game alive, man. Sacked a Super Bowl record 7 times and a postseason record 19 times. Aaron Donald, I don't think he's retiring, Baldy, because he's still that damn good. One of the biggest forces I've ever seen on that side of the ball.
He's unbelievable, Bonte. You know, I like you mentioned, I was down there on the field before the game, and he sees me, so he smiles, he gets up, comes over, and he starts talking, and we have a pretty good relationship over the years, and so I just said to him, you know, hey, Aaron, like, this is your moment, like, this, you know, you gotta feel the game, and when the game is, you know, in the clutches, you got to take it over today. You know, he kind of knows that, you know, I mean, he sort of has that special quality about him. And so in those last two downs, third down and fourth down and one, I mean, he took the game over. But he'd done that pretty much all game. In the spotlight, it just looked a lot bigger. But when you go back and you really study it, like, he was so dominant. And then, you know, I just kind of like tapped him on the shoulder, good luck to you, and that kind of thing. When you tap him on the shoulder, it's like tapping hard steel. Like nobody, it's not even human. It's not a human touch. You know, he's a 30-year-old grown man. You tap him on the shoulder, it's like if you hit him hard, it's going to hurt. You know, he's one of a kind, Von Miller. I mean, they took the game. You know, I thought Cincinnati had their moments, their chances, and they just weren't up to it in the moment. And so, you know, look, congratulations to the Rams. In the trenches, they were great. Cooper Kupp was great in the moment on the final drive. What Matt Stafford did, I've heard you talk about quarterbacks. What Matt Stafford did in that final drive, I mean, you lose Tyler Higbee, you lose Odell Beckham Jr., Skowronek's not doing it for you. Bryson Hopkins isn't doing it for you. You go to Cooper Kupp any way that you can, and he did it.
You know, Donald is a freaking rhino. You're spot on there. But Cooper Kupp, Matt Stafford, like, what is it? Is it the quarterback being really good? Is it the defense playing soft coverage? Is it Kupp is just outstanding? Like, how is this guy open over and over and over again? Is that just the offense having an advantage? Like, how do you break this thing down? I mean, clearly Kupp is outstanding, but what is it about this guy?
Well, you know, you can draw up all the plays you want, Joe, and you can practice and rehearse all the plays you want. And then you get into the heat of the moment and in the biggest drive of their lives. And the thing about Cooper, why he's the most targeted receiver, you know, in the league this year, why he, you know, had 2,500 yards in passing yards is he has unbelievable eyes to see what the defense is doing. Okay, so you have a route called, and then he sees what you're doing to him, and he just on the fly, like in real time. And then the quarterback is right there with you, which is really unheard of almost. It's almost impossible. Now, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae has that. A couple guys have that kind of connection. Mm-hmm. There's just this connection between the two that they're seeing the same thing at the same time while you're running a play. And so it's just so unique. Like, you know, the no-look pass by Matt Stafford, He's not trying to be cute. He's not trying to show off. He literally is moving Von Bell out of his way so that he can make the throw to Cooper Kupp. And, you know, to be able to do that, we talked to him yesterday on Total Access. David Carr was asking him about that play. Like, if he goes to the Hall of Fame, that's the play that's traveling with him to the Hall of Fame.
There's no doubt. Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game, joining us every single Tuesday at 7:30 in the morning, breaking down Super Bowl 56 at SoFi Stadium. I mean, he was living. He saw the halftime performance with Snoop and Dre. SoFi put on the show. I'm actually surprised, Baldy, you weren't on set with Snoop and Dre in one of those drop-top six foes.
No, I got to tell you, you know, I mean, it was one of the great halftime performances. But I was just looking around the stadium, and I don't know that anybody even left to go get a beer or a bucket of popcorn. I think everybody was glued to their seats. Just the energy level. I mean, it was just so fitting. You know, L.A., the stars, the game, the stadium. It was just it was the perfect halftime performance, you know?
You break down the game every single week, and you've watched the Super Bowl over at Baldy. If Burrow did have time, were there plays to be made against that secondary? Because a lot of people are floating out the last play on the 4th-and-1 where Donald got through and Jamar Chase apparently was down the sideline. Ramsey had stumbled. What did you see once Burrow got attacked? Were the Bengals winning against that secondary? More specifically, was Higgins and Chase getting deep down the field, getting open against that Rams secondary?
I'm doing a thing today, like the missed opportunities that they're going to go back and you know, you talk about Aaron Donald finishing out 3rd and 4th and 1. But on 2nd and 1, oh, my gosh. I mean, Joe Burrow's got the easiest route combination to his left just to convert. You know, and then because I felt like once they got to midfield, you know, we're going to overtime. And so, yes, on 4th down and 1, Jamar Chase did beat Jalen Ramsey down the sideline. Jalen did stumble. He did fall. There was no way the ball was ever going there. He wasn't looking there.
Right.
You would have needed 4 seconds to go find that play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Aaron Donald hit him on 2.1 seconds, just to be technical. But on second and one, they got a great chance. You know, the opening drive of the game, you know, they didn't convert. They had T. Higgins wide open, you know, on that drive where they could have continued it. There were plenty of chances, 4 or 5, where you go, if you just make, you know, the right throw, if you see it, you know, you're continuing the drive, and you're maintaining possession of the ball, and who knows what happens.
You know, Baldy, I'm interested by how we do the measurements. You know, like now, hey, Matt Stafford's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. We look at him very, very different. And I look at Shanahan and McVay, and I'm just curious what separates them. Like, is it just players making plays in critical moments? Is it schematics? Is it leadership? What is the separating factor between why Sean McVay is a Super Bowl champion and Kyle Shanahan has yet to do that?
Well, I mean, Joe, if you look at the final drive, okay, 15 plays, you know, 79 yards, whatever. I mean, on 4th and 1, at his own 30, he gives a fly sweep handoff to Cooper Kupp. Now, it's 5.5 minutes to go in the game. There's 3 timeouts left. There's plenty of time to go punt it. You've got Aaron Donald, Von Miller. You got the guys out there that can finish it out. And he went for it. Like, he's either the hero or the GOAT, a different type of GOAT. He's the hero right now. Like, in that moment, I don't know what made him say, let's go for it. And this is a team that couldn't gain a yard all game long. And you give it to Cooper Kupp on a fly sweep. And Von Bell is sitting there unblocked. You know, and Cooper Kupp runs right by him. So I don't know what separates them. I mean, they've got better players right now. I mean, they've got, you know, 2 guys that are going to the Hall of Fame on defense. Probably a 3rd guy in Jalen Ramsey, no doubt. They've got those type of players. And then they got a quarterback that, look, the difference in that game was Matt Stafford. You can talk about the interceptions. But on that final drive, he was, you could say quarterback rating, all that stuff. He made one big throw after another in that game that ended up winning it for him. I mean, a touchdown throw to Cooper Kupp. Can you always get that if you need it? The touch, the timing was absolutely perfect. So they were perfect when they needed to be perfect, Joe. I don't know that one separates one from the other. I'm sure Kyle is capable of doing it. But that 4th and 1 call, I don't know that how many coaches would have made that call.
Well, not only that call, you see Zach Taylor, as you referenced, going 4th and 1 on the opening drive. And we look at the NFC title game, a pivotal moment where the Niners have a 2nd and 1, a 3rd and 2, a 4th and 1 with 9 minutes of change left on the other side of the field at the Rams, 42, 43-yard line? And they say, you know what, we're going to punt it. That's a big difference there. Going for the throat, man. Going for the kill. You got to do that in today's games, and that's what the Rams did. Real quick, I want to discuss Odell Beckham Jr. because you're tight with him, Baldy. It feels like he's redeemed himself. You know, whatever the reputation was coming out of Cleveland, he said he was at rock bottom. Tears his ACL, which is very, very unfortunate. How do you feel about turf and grass? Like, I got to get rid of turf, man. Let's play grass. This is pro football. We grew up in the sandlot playing on grass. Whether it's dirt, grass, get rid of the turf because it felt like Beckham was on his way to having a big-time football game.
You know, I saw a comment from Debo, you know, when that happened, and obviously those guys are tight. I'm a big Odell Beckham Jr. fan. I'm sick about what happened. But be honest with you, Bonte, I don't know that if grass or turf even makes a difference. I mean, I tore my ACL on grass, the same type play. Just, just landing on the knee, change direction, knee pops. I don't know. I haven't seen any studies. Grass versus turf, there's probably more turf fields than grass fields for sure in this business. I don't know that we're going to see Odell Beckham play next year. I mean, he tore his last year in Cleveland. And I saw him week 1 against Kansas City when he was in Cleveland. He wasn't ready to go yet. I mean, we're looking at a minimum of 9 months. I mean, we're probably talking next December where he's healthy enough to play. And it's the same knee. So who knows how weak it is and if they could put that graft in there and, you know, come back. I saw how hard he worked, the treadmill, all the work that he put into it. We may not see Odell next year because if you're in December and he's now ready, healthy to play, and you're ready for a playoff push, perhaps, Is that when you want to get him on the field, or do you want to give him the whole offseason and get him back the following year? So it might be a long, long recovery for Odell.
Oh, man, that stinks. And you and I did a Spaces, and you've told everyone how, you know, tight you are with him and how he was playing, you know, the healthiest he's ever been. He was dominating in that NFC Championship game and in the first half there. Man, that's just that stinks. That really
does.
It's
a perfect system for him, Joe. It's a perfect system. You know, they got, you know, they're going to get Robert Woods back next year.
And, yeah.
You know, but it's heartbreaking. It really is. As soon as he went down, I think we all kind of knew that he wasn't going to play anymore this year.
I know. It's so stinky. Well, I'm seeing a lot. I know we're transitioning away from the Super Bowl because I'm hurting. I mean, as a Niner fan, I'm hurting. And now we're into speculation smoke season, Baldy. And so Jimmy Garoppolo floating around. How much is he worth? You know, this team would trade X. That team would trade Y. What are you comfortable saying Jimmy Garoppolo is worth on the open market? I mean, obviously, this is a speculation at best. But you do a pretty good job understanding what teams have and what they're looking for. What would you be willing to give up for Jimmy G?
You know, Joe, if you look at, you know, you look at Matt Stafford in the Super Bowl, you look at Tom Brady last year, you're looking at Joe Burrow, you're looking at, you know, I don't know, Josh Allen, Mahomes. I mean, it's such an elite position right now. And we saw it in the postseason, how good you have to be once you get here, if you could get here. And so guys like Carson Wentz, I mean, they're not good enough. Jimmy G, is he good enough? I mean, yeah, some team will take him. I mean, and I don't mean like he's like second, you know, chopped liver or anything like that. But you could, Jimmy G is probably a third round pick, something like that. But how many teams are going to be lining up for him when you know how good you have to be if you want to win it all?
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, Stan Kroenke, Sean McVay, they want to win it all. And they went for it all. And they got their guy. And they knew how good he is. I don't know that teams look at Jimmy G like they do Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's where Jimmy's at right now. And he's good. He can get you probably to the playoffs. Can you go all the way with him? I'm not sure.
Well, having said that, in term, and especially when you juxtapose it with Stafford and what LA has done,
yeah.
Did the 49ers make the wrong mistake in going in on Trey Lance and not trying to trade for Matt Stafford?
Yeah. Yes, to answer your question. Because if you put Matt Stafford in San Francisco, they probably win it all. So, but, you know, they built for the future. And so now they've got to figure out how to get Trey Lance up to speed. And that's all. You know, it's a slow process. I mean, Josh Allen's taken 3 years, and he still wasn't good enough. And we saw just how brilliant he is almost every Sunday. And he wasn't good enough in the moment to do it.
Wow.
We know how good Patrick Mahomes is. He's a human highlight reel. He wasn't good enough the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, just... however you want to categorize it. And so it is, there is so much on that position right now. Because you can, like, put all the pieces around him. You just see Matt Stafford in Detroit, 12 years. We saw no-look passes. We saw comeback wins. Look what they did to him in San Francisco, in L.A., for them to win. You know, you got three Hall of Fame players on the defense. You got probably one of the greatest young coaches we've ever seen. You got the best receiver in football. And it was just barely good enough to go win it. Wow. I mean, it is a big task once you get that guy to make sure everything around it is just as good as it can be.
With that said, Baldy, I've been hearing a lot, and it's actually driving me a little crazy. A lot of people saying, well, you know what? The Niners need to go get Brady because Trey Lance isn't ready for prime time. Trey Lance isn't ready to go. I have a hard time believing that. What are your thoughts on Trey Lance being ready for prime time next season and taking the reins of the San Francisco 49ers?
Well, he's got to make a monster leap. I don't know, Bonte. Like, I don't know what the comp is to go from where what we saw this year, which was spot duty, a couple starts, to Super Bowl level. I mean, I don't know that anybody's ever made that kind of a jump. You know, maybe Mahomes might be the only one.
Yeah.
And so you want to say that Trey Lance is Patrick Mahomes? I'm not ready to say that.
Right.
You know, and I don't want to shortchange the guy. And I don't want to put him into a pressure cooker either. But that's kind of what you're talking about, that level of play right now. And it's hard to think that anybody can make that kind of a jump.
So Baldy, I mean, the quarterback thing, and we've beaten it to the pulp for the last four straight years here, and we know how important it is. And I'm not trying to discredit. It's the most important thing. But what's the other area of need, if you were focusing and running the 49ers, that they have to upgrade this offseason?
Well, I think you could get a dominant offensive lineman, you know, in there to come in and play. I mean, you see what Rashawn Slater did this year. I mean, you know, you had to spend a high pick to get him. But he was a difference maker with the Chargers. Elite corners, stopping guys from being able to throw the ball over your head. Those guys are at a premium in this business. So, you know, offensive tackle, offensive lineman, cornerback, I mean, those guys, pass rusher. I mean, those three positions next to quarterback are the three most important positions.
Brian Baldinger, I don't know if this is the last week we will do, but we definitely had to do something this offseason. Look, they had the Madden Memorial yesterday at the Oakland Coliseum. And, you know, when I look at guys who break down the game and they love it and the passion, there's nobody who comes close to you, Baldy. And I think our listeners, I think Joe and I, we really appreciate your insight, what you bring to the table every single week here on the Morning Roast. So we're going to miss you, man. It's been a hell of a football season. We'll continue to follow you on Twitter and IG, doing what you do, Baldy. It's been a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun following you and watching you ascend in your career, man. Nobody does it better than you, Baldy.
Hell yeah.
Well, I appreciate that, Bonte and Joe. I've loved being with you. It's been a great ride. But I got to tell you, like, you can't just, a lot of people can break down cover two, break down these games. I could do it as well as anybody. I'm going down to break down some surf in Costa Rica right now because it's mega surf season right now. And I got to get down there for it. So I'll be down there Friday. And but I'll come back and join you for sure in the offseason. We got the combine. We got free agency coming up. We ain't stopping right now, guys.
No doubt. No doubt. We're full go, baby. Full go.
And, Baldy, I'm making a promise, a show promise. Okay. If and when the Rolling Stones come roaring back around to the San Francisco Bay Area, you, me, and B are going.
Yeah, you know, we'll make sure Bonte understands that, Get No Satisfaction is one of the greatest songs ever written.
You know what, Baldy? I was bumping some Miss Me.
Beast of Burden is the one. Keep it real.
Yeah, that was a great song. I listened to it all. I said, you know what? It kind of blew me away, man. Start It Up, a little overrated. That's a pop song, but there's some hitters the Rolling Stones have, no doubt about it. Safe travels to Costa Rica, Baldy.
Thanks, bud.
Okay. All right, guys. Take care, man.
Ryan Baldinger here on 95.7 The Game. Here on the Morning Roast. Nobody does it better, man. Does it with passion, enthusiasm. It's like a kid covering a game that he loved.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.